Let's, Kilby, why don't you try restarting the call?
Okay. Restarting the call. Let's see how this works. And of course, it says call failed.
Hello?
Okay. I mean, Hello. The only thing you can do is make it worse. So.
Yeah. I love the one picture where he's got Ironhide like checking his wheels. That reminds me of that Astro Boy scene from the movie. I've got machine guns in my butt.
This is Domino Skype. How can I order your pizza for you today?
Alexa, order Domino's.
I didn't find that in your past orders, so I've added dolphins to your shopping list.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 454. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Don, Diecast, Chris, Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, Rob Clay, and John DeLuna. Guys, how's it going?
Cold.
Better than you.
Yeah, I'm sick, so I actually was going to ask XV to host this, but then I thought I'll just have XV holding that above my head again, so I'm just going to suffer through it.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
I'm makes the show go faster. This
weekend is going to be nice and relaxing, and I can just play around. And...
So I'm going to go quiet a lot through the show as I'm coughing and blowing my nose and making all sorts of disgusting sounds, so... Mute the mute buttons, my friend, tonight. If you're actually watching the video, you'll see that my camera is not up. So I'm not running video tonight. Yeah. So, hey, it's going to be our 7th annual Toy Fair live stream on Saturday.
Yep. You know, it's just in a couple days. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, maybe even less.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to have this up tonight.
And if you're listening to the podcast version of this in, like, April, it was a couple months ago.
Go back and listen. We'll have video on YouTube. So
yeah.
If you don't catch it, you really should. Saturday evening, I should have a recap video. If you want to go back and watch the entire live stream, have at it.
By all means, yeah. I mean, it's there.
But we will have a recap video recapping all the awesome stuff that happened. So
I mean, if you just go and watch the recap video, you're going to miss all the awesome in-between stuff that, you know, Kilby will cut out for the sake of time and probably, you know, legal reasons.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
All the awkward pauses. You're going to miss those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the charm of live broadcasting, isn't it?
I love doing the Toy Fair live stream. It's my favorite thing that we do every year. And now that Diecast has actually been there for the last few years, it just adds a whole new level of amazing to it. So, So Diecast, are you going to take a toy to compare to in photos and stuff and such?
You should I take like a third party toy?
Just... No, don't do that.
No, if you take anything, probably take like a recent Legends toy. Because, you know, that's easy to tuck in your pocket when you're not using it. And it's still a good yardstick. I mean, don't compare it to everything, but just like if something unusual turns up.
Yeah.
Last year when Ultra Magnus with Minimus Ambus turned up, you know, somebody took a picture of that with Legends Tailgate, and that helped us to really understand how small that Minimus was. If something like that happens, it's nice to have the size reference.
I guess If you could get, like, a 7 or 8-year-old kid to go with you to stand with the toys, Chris could do another analysis.
Well, I would need detailed information on the height, weight, and medical background of the child in question in order to get the most accurate estimate, but yeah.
I'm just going to make sure whatever is, like, the big surprise or the closest thing we have to a big surprise, I'm going to be the first one down there and I'm going to get a big bald guy to stand in front of it and the shot.
We offered to send Don up there to help you.
Yeah.
Like Don is our in-house large bald man.
I love that idea. Actually, can we do that next year?
Well, depending on how my work shift to vacation stuff is going, if I have the time, I'll be glad to go.
Yeah, in our in the chat, our pal Jason Kirk said that he's going to put the live stream up on his Chromecast on Saturday, and that's an awesome idea. And I was actually trying to figure out how I was going to watch the Super Bowl this weekend because I don't have TV. And one of the first things I was going to do was Chromecast the like the web version or whatever from my tablet to the TV. And I found out the CBS Sports app on my Roku will play it. But I found out that my Amazon Fire Stick and my Roku and everything will actually accept like a Chromecast signal. So if you have a set-top box, you can certainly throw the video from the tablet from the YouTube app to Don. It's going right over Don's head. You can throw that to your TV, or you can just watch us on the YouTube app if your smart TV has YouTube, or if your Roku. Don is showing. What is that, Don?
No, I'm reading the back of the package till you're done.
Okay, but so if you have a YouTube app on your Roku, on your Apple TV, or on your Fire Stick or your Fire TV, you can watch us on your TV, and it's fun.
That's a Roku.
Now, for some reason, I just want to send Don like a D&D rule book for him to read on stream while we're talking about stuff he doesn't understand.
I actually play D&D, so I
it doesn't matter, Don. Just the image. That's the image that came into my head.
Hey, Don, you should. So I do a D&D game once a month with my friends. You should come down and play.
I would, but I would rather pick up playing Mech Warrior because I've still got my Grand Titans. I have the animated series source book. I want to play the animated series episodes, and I've never been able to do that.
We could do 5th edition. You could learn 5th edition. What version did you play? What version of D&D did you play?
0.5, I would guess.
It's
on the beta.
I don't. All I remember is the last time I played with my Dungeon Master, my character found a belt of femininity and was turned into a woman. And
Don,
then, and
are
then,
you
okay,
sure
so let's stop
playing
this.
D&D?
Again,
another idea for a good thing.
Well, this was
we just send Don a Chromecast and we'll just film how long it takes him to figure out how to use it.
I was 17. I'm 45, so it's been a while.
Yeah,
you know, there's reasons I regret starting this.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move ahead. But yeah. So Saturday, starting 12 Eastern time. Watch us on your TV. Watch us on your tablet. Watch us on your PC. However you want to do it. Just watch us.
You will have fun.
And diecast. Oh yeah. And most importantly, maybe not most importantly, but super importantly, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
At TF Radio, so you can see all of
that is really important because diecast is going to be tweeting out all the stuff as it happens on the Twitter, and that's where we're probably going to hear about it first too. So
Diecast,
if you want to just be following right along with us,
if you want to get stuff 3 seconds faster than basically anybody else, follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Diecast will get it first. He is the bomb when it comes to that. He and John both.
I mean, those seconds count.
Those seconds count.
I just elbow people and fight my way through it.
Also, basically, is trying to get to the Japanese dealer's table at BotCon.
Yeah, pretty much.
And for the record, that was like 1988, so it was either AD&D first edition or regular D&D.
It's been too long.
That would have been AD&D. That would have been Advanced Dungeons. I can't even speak. Advanced.
Well, they did run the two concurrently because that's about the same time I had the basic version. So
for me to get back into Dungeons and Dragons seriously, it needs to be set in the animated universe. That's what will get me back into D&D.
Well, I mean, as long as you use the system, it really doesn't matter what stories you play.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the setting whatever you want it to be. It's just
know,
you got to follow
I want an official, dedicated, canon running for the animated series, completely separate from everything. I just want to be the animated series proper. Not, it's set. The whole thing is set in the animated series.
So, two things. This is not off topic because during what's it called? The live stream that happens once a year at Twitch for the Children's Miracle Network. So this coming year, we're actually going to do that, and we're going to have Transformers video games, but we're also going to be running a Transformers RPG. Tabletop, and I'll be involved. My friend Dusty, Mike, those guys will be running that, and we'll be live streaming that. It'll be really cool. So,
or a complete disaster, which will at least be fun to watch.
Yeah, but it'll be fun to watch.
All right, Brian, is this something like what a Tactics would have was back in the day?
No, this is D&D.
Oh, it's okay.
This, I mean, it's the D&D. It'll be the D&D 5 system. Okay. But the story will be original.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I can't think of the name of the event, but, you know.
Extra Lives?
Yeah, Extra Life, yeah. That's it. Bad memory plus medicine. Bad Brian.
Brain not worky.
So, of course, you can get all of the items that we're going to be talking about during the show this week at tfradio.net/454. Moving to This Week in History, in 2006, Infiltration Issue 2 comes out. And it's from IDW. Aren't you glad that we're not in 2006 anymore when it comes to IDW?
I would be more concerned about being in, like, 2009, 2010 with IDW, to be honest.
I mean, it got worse, but things are so much better now. I read Infiltration when it came out, but I don't remember a thing about it. It was just more trying to grasp at that sort of G1 style universe that now it's kind of like we're using G1 characters, but we're not trying to recreate a G1 style universe. It's kind of like its own thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And that's what I really like about it. It's kind of like when John and I did that G2 podcast, we said, you know, will there ever be anything called G3?
We're in it.
Oh, God.
We're kind of in it.
That was Beast Wars, wasn't it?
No. No, G3 was that bootleg Inferno.
Yes, it was. That's exactly right. Good memory, dude.
Yes.
And wasn't there a bootleg Devastator to go along with it?
There might have been. I don't remember that one. It's clearly, I just, you know, remember G3 Inferno.
If I'm not wrong, I think they basically took the Diaclone colors of Devastator and packaged it.
Well, that's just the Walgreens knockoff.
Not the Walgreens knockoff wasn't the Diaclone colors. But if I'm not wrong,
near enough.
If I'm not wrong, they basically took the Diaclone colors. There might have been one, and packaged it and called it G3. God, that was forever ago.
Yeah, and speaking of bootlegs and such, Matt, how about those new toys?
Yes, let's just jump there. Matt, what did you get?
So I got all of Skyrim in his entirety.
We can't really tell. Your video is kind of blurry.
Yeah.
You're not missing much.
Yeah, I'm having problems. I'm not as happy with it as I was hoping I was going to be.
Is that a fault of Skylinks or the limbs?
Both. Skylinks has one very weak ratcheted leg.
Mm-hmm. That looks bad.
Hey.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. All of them do, right? Sounds like it.
Well, John, you said yours was on the left, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad, I guess. But...
Well, that's different from what me and Matt have, which is the right hip.
So good news. We can't tell you which hip is bad, but chances are
one of them will be.
Well, that's not too bad, though, because if you get two of Skylinks, you can probably just, you know, transplant the hip from one and have one good toy, except you can't because you can't actually take the hip joint apart.
I was gonna say I really don't like the odds because only three people here have that toy and all three people have an issue.
I will have mine tomorrow.
So we'll go 4-4-4.
Yeah Skylinks himself, I like the robot mode. The shuttle mode, I have problems keeping him tabbed together. It does not want to hold. Wheeljack is even worse for staying tabbed together. It is just, and it's really unappealing being almost entirely solid, like beigey white. It's
a shampoo bottle.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. Kinda. There's something about Hound's head sculpt that is just a little bit off putting. I can't get into it. Basically, the only one I am really happy with is Smokescreen because I like that mold and it looks really good in those colors.
So, like, you know, we call a lot of these third-party toys like not Inferno or not Ironhide or whatever. And it's kind of sad that I feel almost that this wave and maybe the last wave of Combiner Wars deluxes are almost like, you know, not Ironhide and not, you know, whatever else. I don't even know what toys are in this wave because I am that uninvested or not invested in these toys.
Hey, man, the only thing that seemed appealing was I saw recently that Trailbreaker's cannon hand actually is 5mm compatible, so you can plug a combiner hand into it.
Oh, that would be cool.
Oh, nice. Ooh, that's cool.
Hey, so that's, man, at least like one yet. Upside. So I've got Skylynx 2. The Lynx fan mode is actually not all that bad for something that's completely not intended to the design of the toy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it could be better if any thought had been given to that, but I'm really satisfied for just, you can easily clutch this out of the toy. And I've got kind of the same problem as far as the shuttle mode does not want to really tab together flush. It'll stay for the most part. The fittings in general are not that good, but I really love the way the torso mode looks. It's so super robot in all the right ways.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Like, aesthetically, they have this nailed.
I agree. And I mean, I love Skylynx and his regular dinosaur bird mode.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, too.
Fantastic. I mean, that's how this is going to stay, pretty much.
Yeah.
Do you think we're having an issue with mold degradation on those limbs at this point? I mean, we should, as much as they've been used, but I mean, is that what's causing the tab problems on the smaller limbs?
But the wheel jack is pretty much a new shell.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and that's the most disheartening thing about that. There shouldn't really be mold degradation on the new parts.
I didn't realize there was that much of a reshelling. I just hadn't really looked that way.
Yeah,
myself.
It's an entirely new car. I'm hoping it's the plastic that they used for it, because I'm pretty sure we're going to see this as light speed in the Technobot set. And I would rather not have the problem repeat itself.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Anybody else get anything?
No, I got the Super Mode Starscream.
Oh, nice.
Super Mode on
you
Mars.
Like it?
Yeah, it's a seeker. I like.
Well, I guess if they're going to repaint any seeker mold into Oblivion to replace the classics version, I'd rather be that one than the Fall of Cybertron version.
Oh, screw you, Don.
But, yeah, I picked up, I got a couple of things this week. I don't have them right here with me, but I picked up X-Transbox Andreas. They came in this week. DX9 Galvatron Tyrant.
Do you like it?
Tyrant? I've opened it up and looked at it. I just haven't had a chance to dive into it yet. I got Unique Toys Provider. It arrived this week. And I got a Gut Cruncher from the Collectors Club sale last week, and it's here as well. So I went a little third party crazy, but it's stuff I've been wanting for a while.
How's that 401k going?
As soon as I get my next payment, I'll let you know.
Very cool.
Which one's the Gut Cruncher? I don't remember that one.
The Warpath repaint with the Minicon that became not Gut Cruncher. I'm sorry. Dreadshot.
Dreadshot's awesome.
I could not remember there being a Gut Cruncher.
For some reason, I always got those two mixed up.
That Dreadshot
is nice. I never really felt like it was up to the level of being like a club exclusive thing, but like it would have made a really nice retail recolor.
A great retail repaint.
It's okay as like an exclusive thing, and I feel okay with what I paid for the one I got. But yeah,
you know,
felt like it quite measured up.
Yeah, I've been wanting one for a while. Not anywhere near like I wanted an Ultra Mammoth, but I did want one. The club sale was $19 shipping, and I mean I couldn't
totally worth that.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, that's
that was definitely
fine.
Worth it. Because it's the Minicon actually fits the character, kinda. Yeah. It's and a lot of times the Minicons just seems kind of random.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of, well, close enough.
So
it kind of works in this case.
Let's go ahead and jump to the news because we have a lot of news to talk through this week. Okay, so Toy Fair, of course, is Saturday. And because there is a certain person out there leaking all of these photos in a really odd, self-serving fashion, they don't have much time left to get rid of their leak. So a few things have popped up over the last couple of days, and I expect a few things to pop up between now and then. It'll be hilarious if the leaks continue, and we're just getting leaks of stuff that we've already seen Saturday. like, you know, by Thursday of next week or something.
Well, I mean, this person probably has until, like, you know, 11, 12 o'clock on Saturday to keep leaking this stuff out, too.
Yeah. So, man, I don't know that it's worth showing the photo, but I guess I'll do it. So we have...
Well, we can always focus on the one that came out today versus the one that came out yesterday.
So we had box art of Brainstorm for Titans Return. And today we actually got a look at the vehicle mode, and it's a retool of Blur, and it's amazing how that actually kind of works.
Yeah.
I don't think I like it.
I'm not saying I like it, but it works.
I kind of do like it, because I've always thought Generations Brainstorm's vehicle mode kind of not all that great, being that it's just, you know, a balled up robot.
This doesn't look like a balled up. I don't think we've agreed on a single thing in Titans Return yet.
Hey Matt, turn off your video, and we'll try to come back that way.
All right.
But I mean, just think about it, Matt. If neither of us will agree with each other on anything in Titans Return, eventually, when me and you end up on a mini cast together talking about it, it's going to make it for a really interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point.
Agreed.
Wow, you know, this is my first time seeing this picture, and you're right, Brian. That actually works a lot better than I ever thought it would. If someone had told me that.
I think it looks like Blur with wings.
It does. You're exactly right. But it's funny how much that actually kind of works.
Yeah. It was rumored for a while that Blur would be retooled in the Brainstorm. It's not the kind of thing that you can, like, kind of imagine coming out at all well without a visual reference.
It could be much worse.
It could be much worse, and I actually don't really hate this that much. I might actually get this. It depends what direction they go with the head. Because if they go for, like, face plateless cartoon head, I'm not going to be too interested in that.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is, if they had actually made the canopy open and close and removed the top fin, I would be hard-pressed to say, oh, that's the Blur shell or the Blur base. And I wouldn't even be able to tell you that unless I just looked at them side by side.
The canopy, I'm pretty sure, does open. So
it should, yeah.
Okay, on the Brainstorm picture, it looks like it's like a half canopy, and you just fit the figure behind the canopy, but maybe it's just the way the angle.
No, I think
that's the way I was looking at it too.
No, I believe that it's just the shape of the back end of it. I think it just flares up a little bit behind the canopy.
Yeah, if you look at the inset Blur photo, it's pretty much identical in shape. So I'm
I see now.
An enclosed compartment when all's said and done.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, I mean, that we'll see, hopefully see that Saturday and get it in color and see what it looks like. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Do we expect to see it Saturday?
Probably. Like, I don't feel like they would have all this art ready to go if the reveals were that far behind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Because, like, this is pretty far in advance even for, like, a BotCon panel thing, I think.
Yeah, true.
At least we're not getting color shots, and you know, there is still a little bit, like, even if we know it's coming, it's a lot different seeing it in person or seeing it, you know, in color.
Well, yeah, and a lot of this too is just it is just box art. It's not all looks at the toys in some form, so there is still the what is going to look like as a real thing.
Yeah. I mean, I really hate that these leaks are happening, because
agreed,
you know, I'm spending a lot of time to go up to New York to cover the event, so I really don't want the leaks to happen. Yeah, and I'd like to be surprised when I go up there. It's kind of experience.
Kind of like Soupsy on eBay the week before BotCon back in the day when
we were spooky.
Was it spooky?
Spooky. Sorry. Soupy sales. But Soupy sales would actually be a great name for an eBay seller.
Yes, it would.
But, you know, but like 2 weeks or up to a month beforehand, we start getting all these leaks of these BotCon. It's like, because you had to be careful going on eBay, because you'd see three or four figures, like, you know, before BotCon even hit.
Mm-hmm. And now BotCon does it, so it doesn't matter so much anymore.
Well, BotCon still tries to hide the souvenir toys for the most part.
This is true. Okay, so next leak, color photos. Of the Computron photos that we already got. Sure, it is in color.
Yep.
It does look like the front part of Afterburner's been retooled a little bit.
It does seem to be a different shape, and it's being represented as all opaque, too.
So
that should be interesting when we actually see what that turns out to be.
Do we think this will be released as Combiner Wars or Titans Return?
Oh, probably. I'm pretty sure the box sets are to keep the Combiner Wars thing going through the year.
Okay.
So if I get a retooled Afterburner and Strafe, like I think I'm going to get, I'll be a little more forgiving.
Well, and if you look at this too, Computron's head is not the same colors as was the Solo Scattershot releases.
Which is very, very good.
So at the bottom of the page, there's art of, I'm assuming, Decepticons. I don't exactly recognize who that's supposed
they're
to be.
They're generics.
They're just generics, okay.
Yeah. They're just space filler. Like, if you go back to, remember the first art reveal of Galvatronus? There was, you know, little characters on the ground around that, and they were just, you know, mix and match generics. They weren't actually anybody in particular.
Okay.
Just style.
It's kind of like the cover of what? G1 24 or 25, whichever it was. Just that weird generic open mouth Transformer.
I will say yes, just because I don't remember that cover off the top of my head.
It's like the worst cover ever of anything. Okay, so I don't remember the number off the top of my head, though. Okay, so so this is no surprise. Pretty much when we saw Sentinel Prime, we called that there would be an Astrotrine. And here are photos. And this looks like it's been inverted.
It was.
Yeah, the original was inverted.
Why?
And it was only half.
Because this guy's a jerk, that's why.
Yeah.
And it's not XD.
If this guy ever, if his identity is ever revealed to the public at large, or at least his handle, he is just stop doing this. This is just show the, if you've got it, show it. If not, let's wait till Toy Fair, okay? No, this is just
sure whoever's
dumb.
Doing this has access to something, and if someone finds out, he's not going to have access to it very
anymore,
much.
Anymore, yeah. Probably would get fired or lose a contract or something.
There's theories how these are happening, and yeah, it's not surprising somebody's keeping a very low profile on this. And, you know, going through Chinese social media just kind of adds an extra layer, because I doubt they're going to respond to a request for an IP address.
Probably.
Google does. Hey, okay, so moving along. Titans Return Fortress Maximus will be debuted on the Transformers official Instagram account.
Now, I'm hoping that's going to be just after Toy Fair?
No, it appears to be intended for before Toy Fair.
Before Toy Fair.
Mm-hmm. And I figure they better hurry up before, you know, Chinese social media beats them to it.
Which is probably why they're doing it before Toy Fair.
I would, so every year a big thing is shown off to like a major media outlet before Toy Fair starts just to drive the publicity engine.
It's like MTV last year.
And it's been USA Today sometimes. And I think this time they will probably still do that to some capacity, but I think, you know, they also want to just like go direct to the fans with an official first reveal, and then it'll also be in whatever publication. So I think that's pretty much the motive behind this. I wouldn't say it's a direct response to all the leaks coming off of Weibo, but much like that conference call in November, I would not say that it's not at least a little bit informed by it.
That's one of the toys. I mean, I know it's going to be there, but I'm really excited to see it. I heard it's very G1, and of course, you know, I got Fortress Maximus, the Encore, right behind me, which is like my holy grail of Transformers figures. Like, if I had to stop, at least I got that figure. But I'm really interested to see that figure. Even knowing it's there, it's still exciting knowing that I'm going to be able to see it in person, and I almost want to not even pay attention to this. Like, I just want to see it at Toy Fair
I mean, you'll perfectly be able to do that too. I mean,
yeah.
Cause I'm expecting this will be put up on Friday, you know, right before, and all you need to do is just not look at stuff on Friday. And
what was it last year? Victorian? Wasn't that what
Victorian was? Victorian was SDCC.
Yeah.
It was Devastator. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MTV got Devastator last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever media outlet it was got Devastator. I don't remember if it was MTV last year or somebody else, but okay. It was Devastator for last year because that was the big thing. When Fall of Cybertron Bruticus was happening, that went out to whoever beforehand also. It's just, you know, it's the pattern.
Okay, cool. Let's move along. So this item popped up literally like Thursday of last week after we did the show.
And yes, and then Kilby's email full of curses and screams to the heavens.
Pretty much. So it was speculated that Hasbro and Mattel may have been in negotiations, but do we have any firm evidence of that?
I haven't heard any updates since that article went up on, what was that, Bloomberg?
Yeah, and Hasbro released their quarterly numbers, and they were really good. Mostly Star Wars,
right?
Which makes sense. So Mattel is bigger than Hasbro, isn't it?
Last I heard, yes, it was. Yeah, last I heard, it was getting very close, and Mattel was not having a great year.
Yeah, cause... Mattel is valued at $11 billion, and Hasbro is 9.5.
Yeah,
and which is, Hasbro's got a pretty decent partnership with Paramount these days.
About double. Hasbro was worth about $5 billion in the late '90s. So and about doubled their value in a generation. So
and Hasbro just got the Disney Princesses license away from Mattel. So in terms of, you know, how things are going for the two, Hasbro does seem to be doing a good bit better.
Well, and Bloomberg had a chart that showed like share prices for the two companies over a stretch of years, and Hasbro's looks quite a bit stronger than Mattel's at this point.
Yeah.
Plus, Hasbro doesn't hate their customers like Mattel does.
There's
I
love that, you, Don. Yes.
That's great.
I'm being serious. I mean,
I know, but it's still
fun. Look at all the Mattel toy lines over the past 10 years that were related to a television show and how everything has interacted to cause the toy line to die, the show to die, and just be an overall sense of what the hell are you doing? Stop doing this. And they keep doing it. I would love to see what Hasbro would do with some Mattel properties, but I would absolutely dread seeing what Mattel would do with some Hasbro properties. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think if this merger were to go through, Hasbro would probably come out as being the dominant force in the conglomerated entity. So Mattel owns Mega Bloks. So what I would really want to come, what I'm going to have come out of this merger is basically Creo get revived with Mega Bloks product quality. Because, like, Creo design quality took a step up toward the end of its functional life cycle. If you could combine that with better material quality, you'd have something pretty decent. Plus, you'd have the Mega Bloks minifigure style, which would be great for, like, you know, a little G.I. Joe line or something.
Yeah, it's not unheard of for the smaller company to take over a larger company, depending on certain aspects. I mean, one thing I'm thinking of is, actually, I just lost it. Never mind.
Well, you know,
no, I mean, it certainly is possible. I would just, all things being equal right now, I would imagine Hasbro would be the one to come out on top.
Well, like, for example, Hasbro Toys is doing the Marvel Legends series. I'm imagining a Thundercats line in the Marvel Legends series size and price point. My God, I would buy every one that came out at $20 to $20 a piece. I mean, you get that kind of level quality on your Thundercats figures with all the accessories. Maybe they could do a build-a-figure. Mum-Ra would be the build-a-figure for Wave 1.
Isn't that what Bandai tried to do with their Thundercats line in 2012?
Well, they didn't have a build-a-figure. Well, they had the Classics one, but all they did was Lino, Tigra, and then eventually, supposedly, a Panthro and a Chitara. I mean, and then they just sort of trolled. They just trolled the fandom with pictures, and that never came out. I'm saying if they do a Marvel Legends level of detail for Thundercats and whatever other humanoid properties, those would be an awesome addition to the Hasbro lineup if that happened, and affordable for the collectors. Sorry, Thundercats is still a sore point for me.
They'd still make you buy it through Maddie Collector, so.
Yeah. The one I did see an article somewhere that suggested there are two minor to major problems with this happening. One is that this might give the combined company enough of a share of the toy market that there would be antitrust issues. Mm-hmm. And the other, some people are speculating that Disney would actually object because it would lower the level of competition for bidding on their properties. And considering how much money Disney has wrapped up in both of these companies, it's not somebody you really want to make mad.
No, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it from that angle, but that makes a lot of sense too. No, I think the antitrust issues would probably be the biggest obstacle to this, just because they would take on so much market control.
But yeah, but it's not monopolistic though. So it's not like there aren't other toy companies like Playmates and everything to compete.
Yeah, well, Playmates has Ninja Turtles and nothing else, and Bandai has basically Power Rangers and nothing else. It's not a lot of field of competition.
It's also not like
The estimation was that they would control at least 45% of the toy market at that point, which would be enough to cause them problems in terms of antitrust.
Yeah, they would block it.
It could be, but it's not like a utility or something where they're...
No, it's not, and I think it would depend a lot on, you know, who the case came in front of, particularly, you know. There's a lot of variants that could be taken in interpretation of it, but yeah, they would certainly have a much larger control of the toy market than either one
it's
does.
It's not like
now.
You have to buy toys, so
no.
Yeah. But no. Staples just got blocked by they wanted to combine with Office Max, and they said no because those are two, you know, office supply stores. But you know, Staples' big thing was, we're not competing with Office Max. We're competing with Amazon and Walmart and Target. Like, that's our competition. But they didn't see it that way.
Well, Office Max just bought and absorbed Office Depot. That was another competitor right there. So there's that. But I'll tell you what scared me, and it's not for the Transformer collectors, if this merger went through, they would put G.I. Joe on Matty Collector. To make it even worse,
that
for the
might
Joe
be the
fans.
Only way. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, okay, if they did that, it wouldn't make it worse for G.I. Joe collectors. Could G.I. Joe collectors could actually buy G.I. Joe stuff again?
Yeah,
and
it'd actually be for sale somewhere.
Yeah, and pay three times the amount of shipping that it would.
Okay, come. But like the determined G.I. Joe fans who want their G.I. Joe product, they'll do it.
No,
because
true.
They want G.I. Joe product, and they'll be happy to have it.
So,
Masters of the Universe has proven this.
Yeah.
So, I know Mark Webber's working on the G.I. Joe,
and
I would assume there's going to be something soon.
I hope she's having a toy fair.
I really hope this toy fair is when you walk in, and this is what all the wait has been for the Joe. I'm not a Joe person. I like it, but it's never been my thing.
Can't really help but feel sorry for G.I. Joe and its fandom at this point.
Well, they are at now where we were. Several years ago, pre-movie, pre-generations and all that, to a degree. I want you to walk in Diecast, and I want you to see a gigantic, huge G.I. Joe banner, a new flag. I want all this stuff for the Joe fans when you walk in the door. I'm hoping we see that for the Joe fans.
I think, if anything, we'd see 6-inch series in the Joes, and I just imagine all the 3.75 people and all the like 12-inch people like fighting. Like, now they have to meet in the middle.
It's happened before.
That will be a giant war.
Yeah, that would be. Well, Marvel Legends G.I. Joe.
So just, actually,
that would be.
So, didn't we see like test shots for G.I. Joe figures in that scale a couple years
isn't
ago?
Isn't that what? Isn't G.I. Joe Extreme or whatever it was? Isn't that
G.I. Joe Extreme was like 5-inch.
Yeah, they definitely weren't Marvel Legends quality.
So hey, so quick question, and then we'll jump to the next item. But I just want to ask: so if we were to have, toy 6-inch figures in either the G.I. The Masters of the Universe Classics mold or in the, Black Series / Marvel Legends mold, which would be preferable if we had like one?
Which
style.
Is cheaper?
They're about the same.
Marvel Legends.
Marvel Legends.
Probably really? Well, if it's a figure
as articulation
that,
junkies, Marvel Legends.
Yeah, but if it's a figure that characteristically is more detailed and doesn't do these action poses, but the figure is visually impressive, maybe Maddie.
I mean, it's a genuine question. I don't have an answer.
I don't think there is an answer really, because either line has specifics they hit that the other doesn't.
Well, I mean, for that matter too, though, like it doesn't that does not necessarily have to be the binary anyway, because like there is also DC Universe Classics, which is basically Marvel Legends on the Mattel side.
This is true.
God, I've got so many of those. Yeah, that's true.
I have never bought a single one, and nor will I ever. Oh, okay, I've got moving so along, many. Moving along.
Right.
Let's see here. Next item: Transformers Earth Wars. It's a Transformers RTS, and it will be available on iOS and Android, or just iOS.
iOS and Android.
Yeah,
good. Both. I might actually play this.
No, you won't.
You don't think so?
You won't.
It's not that strategy, though. It's like, what's that
game Wars?
Popular? No. Command and Conquer.
But isn't it like the right. game? I have friends that I think it's Guild Wars, isn't it? That's the one that everybody plays on Android.
It's something worse. I don't think it's Guild Wars.
Back in the day, Command and Conquer, that was the
Clash of Clans?
Clash of Clans, that's it.
Yeah. Now, if this is going to be a game that you play online on your phone, isn't it going to kill your data?
Wi-Fi.
Don, you do it on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it'll just kill your battery.
Usually
the games I have on my phone are all self-contained. Because the Wi-Fi where I live is, unless you're in the city, it's minimal. And
you
out
can have Wi-Fi
county.
In your house, though. That's what most people have.
Oh, well, I don't. But anyway,
fix that, Don. It's $30 at Walmart. I can go to your house and hook it up for you.
Yeah,
you can get a pocket one that's like this big. I have.
Well, I would just concerned that would be a data hog playing against other people.
Yeah, and it would on your mobile data, but again, you play it on Wi-Fi where available.
I don't know that it's that big of a data hog. I mean, you're just sending. It's not like you're sending stats across. That's all you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, but
that's true, because like even Skype on a mobile device is actually very low data footprint.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's see here. So, what's the release date on this? When do we expect to see it? Did we get a date on it?
God, it was a big article. I want to say in the spring.
Yeah, spring of 2016.
Yeah, you can actually sign up now, and
it requires a Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
So a Wi-Fi connection is required. So
okay. Yeah. So Kilby, get a wireless router and go over to Don's house and hook it up for him, and he can play the game when it comes out.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I'm gonna play this. I swear, I will play this. And of course, it's for those who haven't actually read the article. It's very G1 style. It is G1 styled, which makes me. It's so weird because we spent so many years recreating the Transformers, and now we literally just take G1 and stamp it out on the new properties.
Because it sells.
Yeah, it's like the whole world is now 50-year-old men.
Well, I'm sorry, but if this was Armada. Or Energon or Cybertron, would anyone care?
Honestly, what I liked about Transformers for so many years, it was something new all the time.
Yeah,
but now it's not.
what's
old is old.
Movies are G1.
Yep. Well, they're
those
G1s,
are your options.
Yeah. Okay, so we have that. So moving along, let's see here. Oh, so Subscription Service 5 preview. I'm excited.
I'm in love.
So tell guys, what do we have here?
John, this is from your stuff. Why don't you talk about it?
Oh, well, I didn't even know this was like newsworthy until I took pictures.
Until you woke
up
the next day and found your name on every Transformers site in the world.
Yes, Japanese Twitter loves John again. So many retweets at 3:30 a.m. Well, in the latest issue, I think 67, they showed first the repaints of Armada Starscream and with a new head. So Ramjet and Skywarp, which look good, right? So Ramjet especially has the glowing flaming head kind of thing going. And Skywarp obviously has the same molded head, but his colors negate that. Ramjet has that flaming pumpkin head, which is fun. And I guess the more like notable stuff is the reuse, the unsurprising, inevitable reuse of the what's his face? Oil Master. Yes. As Optimus Prime. The rushing stacking dolls of Optimus Prime with IQ and a very kind of laser slash armada primey.
Oh, it's very laser prime.
Yeah, that's
take super on yeah take on Optimus Prime using a good old swerve and then a Paradrawn Medic. Shock of shocks, we're getting a Paradrawn Medic. So hey, you gotta take like the low hanging fruit somewhere. Mm-hmm. So they're reusing the probably incredibly expensive gorilla that they created. And they're making it Optimus Prime.
I love this.
Talk about low-hanging fruit.
I love it.
And then a Paradrawn Medic. So, hey, I don't blame them.
I have no interest in this.
I love this.
I love this.
I kind of want that Prime.
Just for the sheer
novelty of it.
If anything, this just makes me want Oil Master more, because that's at least a different character from, you know, the 20 Optimus Primes I already have.
I dig it. He's also, like, based on, the original double pretender coloration? Like, this, the way they colored the gorilla, he's based on the prototype?
I understand, there was two decos of the prototype that were seen, and this is based on one of them, and Oil Master is based on the other one.
I see.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I really want this. I may have to sign up for subscription service 5.0.
And the good thing is, this finally settles the truck not monkey debate, because he's both.
And Scaleface just posted that also into the chat. So
yes, sorry Scaleface, that joke has been made more than a few times on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's the perfect Twitter joke.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see here. What else we got going on? I love that. Unite Warriors. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's the next thing up after the
Clubs. Yeah. Unite Warriors Bruticus. We have official color photos with better updated photos. So let's see here. Once it loads, it looks really nice.
Yeah. It does. It's just Vortex in black is just throwing me off.
Like, Vortex I don't think it's black. It's a dark gray.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and see, I think it looks really good.
That is a really pretty deco. It's not like it does not look super Vortex-y.
It doesn't.
But it does get the idea of Vortex across, and it looks really good, and that's plenty for me.
Well, it's just Takara's been so. I hate to use the word slavish, but accurate, I guess, to the G1 decos, and that Vortex just doesn't look. I mean, I still like the figure. It's just it doesn't look right to me. It just, I mean, it's not a toy color. It's not an animation color.
But you know what else? It looks a lot better than the Hasbro version we got with the bright yellow missiles and.
Yeah, you know what else? It's not. It does not look like just a recolored Alpha Bravo. Like. The layout and color placement is different enough that it does not read just like Nemesis Alpha Bravo like the Hasbro one does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's not just Vortex. I like the deco on all of these figures. Bruticus as a whole looks freaking amazing to me, except for the color coordinated feet, which is just a little strange.
Yeah, that is.
I think the execution of Bruticus's chest plate is kind of silly.
I like it.
Yeah, it's accurate. I mean, it's
accurate. I mean, it leads us to ask the question: why did the animators decide that there was a second blast off on Bruticus's chest in the first place?
Just his wings.
It seems like the people making the animation models assumed that Blastoff's wings would detach and be the chest plate.
Kind of like a reverse Predaking.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah. It definitely would have. And for it, like, the cartoon models for the Combaticons are just really weird since they don't match anything that actually existed for the Combaticons. So, like, it's not surprising that they would be kind of out there in that aspect, too. But I still really wonder, where did all that come from? All those weird design choices in those models, how did they get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it could have been early designs they had to work with for the lead time, and it was changed. Because I remember seeing Aerial Assault before I ever saw the first Combaticon toy ever. It's like, who are these? Because Aerial Assault aired in my area, at least, before Starscream's Brigade. So I had no idea who the Combaticons were. I didn't see toys for several weeks or maybe even a month or more before I saw the first Combaticon. So it could have been a lead time issue. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. The cartoon models were based like on early concept art from the Takara toys they were working with. I mean, it's really hard to say. And like, unfortunately, that history of the Transformers panel at BotCon last year didn't really shed any light on that in particular, although that would have been pretty awesome if it did. But no, it's just, it's one of those things that's just going to remain a mystery. Why do the Combaticons all look so wrong compared to the toys in ways that are far, far different from how all Transformers in the cartoon looked wrong and off from the toys?
Well, hey, Chris, do these new color pictures help you lend any more credits to your double blast off mode?
Counter blast off.
Yeah, blast off and counter. Oh. You know.
I mean, that's not going to really come down to deco. In the next item where we have the pictures from the display at Wonderfest, like, there's more pictures of blast off, and you can see, I mean, I am like 99% sure that is intended to be a second robot chest on the back of blast off. And just for the cartoon accuracy, they have it designed so it can be done back first to have the shuttle front be the chest. But like, for any reuse of this, because that's the only time any other, like, Mugwarn Robots in Disguise was toy accurate. If they do a Battle Gaia, that's going to be toy accurate too, because the story page art for is toy accurate.
I want Mugwarn.
You know,
Battle Gaia.
I want Mugwarn and Battle
Gaia. Shuttle Gunner.
I really believe that any subsequent use of this mold in any capacity is going to favor that toy chest.
Do we expect to get this blast off mold at all in the U.S.?
I would love it for Diecast to walk into the showroom on Saturday and there's a G2 Bruticus on display and, hey, there's a shuttle. Even if it's just like, you know, a picture of G2 Bruticus with that superimposed on it. Just like some acknowledgement and intent that that's what's going
to
be.
Well, Diecast, make sure if you get a Q&A session, make sure to ask them if now that we've got a Takara blast off,
yeah,
will we be getting that in the G2 set versus the...
Is there time to change plans for G2 Bruticus?
Yes, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, I mean, the underlying point here, however you end up phrasing it, just, you know, make them aware that we're aware, and if there's any way, that's what we want to see.
If we have to wait a little while longer for G2 Bruticus to get the shuttle
right
mode blast off, if we have to wait, we will wait.
Yeah. I will.
Yeah.
Don's been waiting for years for RC, and Lucky finally got it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I wouldn't mind the Aerial Bot reuse for Blastoff if they had picked a better face.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
That face is not Blastoff, and they have the Fireflight face they could have used to be a lot closer. And if that's not changed, I mean, I would still get the G2 set, but I would be more happier, whatever.
Yeah,
with the right blast off in the G2 set.
And I mean, you know, if all else fails, maybe in 2017, you know, we'll see G2 Defensor and then Ruination, and then, you know, finally we can see that.
And then
shuttle blast off.
Then 2018, we'll see Guard City, and then
I think Japan
Unite Warriors will get to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we first got, the photos that we looked at a moment ago were updated photos from eHobby. The original photos that we were going to look at were from Wonderfest 2016, but we do have photos from Wonderfest of the painted prototype of Masterpiece Optimus Primal.
Oh, yeah.
And he's pretty. Yes.
I so hope that the production Optimus Primal gets that fur paint deco.
Isn't it great?
That well done, because I can see that going really badly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm concerned about that, but that the prototype as shown looks really nice.
Yeah, I don't know how they would necessarily do that, but I wonder if Takara would ever go to the, like, we might get another version of this in 10 years that's actually flocked.
God, it's Mossman all over again.
Yes. No, no, I'm not saying like split the assortment like 50-50. I'm saying maybe like a special version instead of getting like a burning version.
It's just like the flocking would rub off at all the you know, the panel lines and the joints. Yeah,
they'd
I mean that'd be I don't, for what you would end up getting out of it, I'm not sure it's actually worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, we would get Burning Convoy, we can get Universe 1.0 Primal.
Which would be interesting because that's a neat deco.
Yeah.
And they could always color, I'm not sure how this would work, but they could always color this Primal as Air Attack Optimus from RID.
Might be stretching it a little.
Also, that wouldn't be super far off from the universe colors.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they're going to have to do something with this to get a couple reuses out of it just because, like...
Well, Nemesis Primal, I'm sure. We'll get a Nemesis Primal version.
That would be weird.
Or we might even get, like they did for Live Convoy, we might get a Galva, a Mega Optimal, Optimus Prime and Megatron colors as a show exclusive or something like they did for Galva Live Convoy.
That would also be weird.
Yeah, it would be weird, but it is Takara, so Don is not
the sequel. Yeah. Monkey Wars.
We just need a Megatron.
Yeah.
I bet nothing else.
Yes. Okay.
I think that's inevitable.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, so we have...
I hope it's inevitable.
We have episode names and the start date, U.S. start date for Robots in the Sky Season 2. At least we have the first couple episode names. So the series starts back off on February 20th with Overloaded Part 1, and then on the 27th with Overloaded Part 2. And then a week after that, episode 3, but we do not have a title yet for that episode. So if you like your Robots in Disguise and you get up early in the morning.
Or have DVR.
Mm-hmm. So I signed back up for Sling.TV. So Sling TV. So I should be able to at least watch this. And I'll be a better podcast host by being conversant on Robots in Disguise. And I really liked what I watched before the first episode, season, when I had to pirate it off YouTube.
Yeah, well, you know, with this being the last season, I'm trying not to have any great expectations, just because you know I'm sure
liked Pip and all that.
Yeah,
I liked the original ending better than the second ending that was published. Yeah. I have to admit.
But I'm sure they were expecting to have more than two seasons off of this. But I really hope this is where they come through with all the links to Prime. Again, I know we've talked about this before, but this is the exact opposite of the movies. I'm going in with expectations, and I'm hoping some of them are met.
So, okay, so we know Don's setting himself up for disappointment. So this episode of Radio Free Cybertron brought to you by Amazon, Kilby.
Yes. Hey, so why don't you pick up that G2 Superion if you don't already have it? Go to tfradio.net/G2. And I have to pay taxes, so it would be awesome to pay taxes for the year.
To, you know, get money back to us so Kilby has to pay more taxes next year.
Yeah. This is true.
Basically, the more you buy on Amazon, the more you inconvenience Kilby next tax cycle.
Yeah, it's the circle of life, you know.
So go buy a G2 Superion because I just did indeed find out that, yes, those limbs do look amazing on Skyrain.
All right.
But yeah, you can get anything and everything pretty much on Amazon. And if you have Prime, Amazon Prime, which I do, it makes life much better.
And actually, if you don't have Amazon Prime but you're thinking about it, you can also sign up for Amazon Prime using the RFC link.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Okay. Blur needs gas. Oh yeah, throw money at Diecast for Toy Fair. Don says eat more beans. That's what's cool. If you're curious what our chat is like, our Skype chat as we do the show each week, it's a lot of that. Are you actually driving? Yeah. I thought you're taking the train.
Oh yeah, I take the train. I'm just Blur needs gas because Blur burns a lot of gas as he blurs around.
Oh, we need to pay for food.
Yeah. Feed Blur.
He's been a good Blur.
See, like, if you would have thought about this like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we could have like had you know, graphics and stuff and like made this a whole campaign. Feed Blur. Okay. Although, I mean, if you're still looking for a house, we could turn that into, you know, give Blur a home.
Well, that's one of the, that's one of the reasons I'm going to be eating like rice. I'm going to go to like Chinatown in New York and just be like, can I just have, you know,
do I need to get the new sign out, Diecast? How far are you taking this one?
No, that's it. That's I just, you know, right, because rice would be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's called ramen. Just use ramen.
Yeah, no. After the show, talk to Rob and get him to give you his brother's recipe for coffee maker ramen.
Uh-huh. Ah.
Is that like Campbell's soup through a Keurig?
That stuff is disgusting.
I must say for a cheap meal, I'm absolutely addicted to the Taco Bell Crunch Wraps. You get the beefy cheddar. And it's a dollar, and it's in this. It's like in that breakfast wrap that you get, but it's basically meat and cheese. And it's
okay, so let me tell you about Taco Bell. The XXL Crunchwrap burrito, or some XXL burrito. I don't remember the exact name. There's only one kind. Just the regular ground beef one costs like $4, and it's about 10 inches long. And it is just a meal unto itself. You don't even need to get the meal that comes with it. Just get one of those, and it is a full meal. It is like the best value at Taco Bell, and it's really good.
That is awesome.
Now I want XXL nachos.
Taco Bell. So the last time I got those, Don, like, they shorted me. They gave me a half-size portion of them only.
Well, I go to the one that there's one I go to all the time, and they know me. And I'm not a jerk. Do. Yeah. So, I mean, they know my order. I either get one of two things, and that's usually it. And I love those nachos. Those nachos are so good.
I kind of want some now. Thanks, Don.
Sorry.
Okay. So, do we want to mention this next?
We're getting a head start on talking about food. We usually do this in the after show.
Actually, speaking of food, we need to figure out more things that we're going to do at BotCon.
We have, yeah, because eating is basically all we do at BotCon.
That is a big thing. We do have the one meal set up with Tater X at his restaurant that he likes. We need to invite people to that. Okay, so let's see here.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking back to BotCon 2012 when we went to that steakhouse and like there was 30 of us taking over like five tables all lined up end to end.
Yeah,
that was kind of awesome.
That
actually
was awesome. That was a lot of fun.
That was like the last Ouija takeover.
It was. It was. I mean, Ouija, like, goodness. Again.
And then we all filled a karaoke room afterwards.
Yeah. And that was a smaller Ouija group than we'd had in the past. I mean, I think we had like 50 people once in that karaoke
bar. This year,
bar.
I think it's barely going to have any Ouija.
I think there were five or six of us last year.
Man.
Oh, hey, Brian.
Yes,
I'm just going to cut in here real quick. Trypticon on Amazon. There's some open. I'm not sure if they're open box, but it's dented box. The warehouse options as low as $83.
Holy crap!
That's a good buy.
You can get a Trypticon.
Bear in mind, there's probably only a few of them, and as soon as somebody buys one, the price will go up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, but,
right now there's three that are used like new. For 80, I'm rounding up to 88, and there's some ewes that are very good for 83. There's about three of each, so I just wanted to let all of our fans know. If you've been wanting a Trypticon, get on this.
tfradio.net/Trypticon. Click on where it says
buying options.
Yeah, buying options. You can pick it up there. Great, Don. But yeah, okay. Next item on third party, or the first item. Is this a news item? I know that Maz had posted some photo.
Why don't we
skip
to the Unicron thing?
Okay. I'll move this to the. We'll still have that in the show notes, but we're not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how do you say this? Garatron.
Gand of Devils, I guess.
Gand of Devils, G-O-D. Galaxy Destroyer recreates the infamous unproduced Beast Wars Neo Unicron figure.
So talk about a flashback, huh?
So I thought that came out. That never came out?
No. Like, there was the gray prototype of it that was in a magazine that, got posted to ATT in 1999.
I thought it came out and I just opted not to buy it. Okay.
No, it never came out.
Okay.
The only Unicron toy we got is the Armada mold and the little deluxe Cybertron one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just thought that was something I skipped because it was going to be too expensive.
No, but I remember that magazine scan coming out, everybody, you know, flipping out over it because it's a Unicron toy, then it getting canceled, or it was probably canceled by the time the magazine scan came out. And then the next year, people were like, let's have a petition to get them to make this anyway.
Petitions are so stupid.
And it's just, I mean, that was like the big thing going on Usenet for that stretch of time.
So has anybody actually seen a Transformers petition work? Really?
I don't pay attention to petitions.
Yeah.
So if petitions don't work.
No.
Yeah, they never have.
Well, and especially like petitions to commercial outlets.
Regeneration 1, I think people may claim as a win for a petition, but I don't know there's actually ever a petition for that.
Yeah, I don't think it was a petition. It was just the response to like long-standing desire by the fandom that was expressed. It was not. I don't think it was an organized campaign that made it happen.
Well, it worked for Cagney and Lacey.
But we're talking Transformers.
I mean, letter writing campaigns have historically worked, but that's not the same thing.
Yeah,
I've just been in this fandom a long time, and it just hit me yesterday when I was looking at all Toys Transformers how long I've actually been in the fandom. We're, you know, talking multiple decades, and I don't think I've ever seen a single petition work.
No, I would blindly say that you're probably exactly right.
Yeah. Okay, so there's that. Do we have any idea what this thing is going to cost?
Too much?
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
The IDW themed Thunderwing, which was the first prototype this group showed, still does not have any like information to show like a baseline for their pricing structure. Being that they are a newer company that does not have any product out, I would assume anything they make is going to be pretty expensive for a while.
That's probably realistic.
This probably looked good years ago, but for today's third-party standards, I would not buy this.
Well, I'm not buying it.
Either. Well, it's also aesthetics more than anything else, because you're looking at a completely different aesthetic for the Beast Wars era than you are now. True. So it's true to the aesthetic it needs to be. It just looks out of place because of we're past that point.
People who are there wanted this, it makes sense. But for diecast, no.
Yeah,
I
don't think it's really fair to judge it by current third-party standards because it's trying so very specifically to reproduce something from, you know, almost 20 years ago now. An official product that never made it out 20 years ago. So, yeah, it's not going to look like third-party anything on the market.
This is a service to somebody, but not us.
And, like, possibly. I can really appreciate this based on that. This is, strictly speaking, a Beast Wars thing a third party is doing. It's not, like, what we would consider a first-choice Beast Wars thing for a third party to make, but it is something that's outside the traditional, you know, G1 wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of gives you a little insight into the people running this group, because they are familiar enough, they know enough to reach back and pull this out as something that will be of interest to older fans, older collectors. So, like, there's interesting things that you can take away from this. I don't think it's going to sell the way they need it to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Diecast is wrong about that at all.
He is not wrong at all.
Well, and we did talk about on the minicast about how we wanted to see Unicron something different done with him than just being a plot device. And
I don't care. He was a plot device, and it's over. That's my opinion on Unicron.
How dare you?
But at least having a Japanese Beast Wars Unicron at least fleshes out that continuity some more of that. So that is something new being done with the character. So
no, actually, I think putting actual Unicron into Beast Wars kind of reduces Beast Wars.
Oh, really?
Because all it's doing is strapping on the old baggage onto the new thing and diminishing it.
That's true.
Beast Wars, I feel, kind of, it had a strength in doing its own thing and not being so beholden to the traditions. But different strokes, you know.
Yeah. Still hope it does well for the company. It may not, but you know.
I hope it does well for the company just because this company looks like they're willing to go kind of outside the box And yeah. we need more third parties that will do that. So, like, I wish them all the success with this just to see what else they will do.
Because, I mean,
probably interest me at some point.
Because if they're willing to do Beast Wars Neo Unicron as their first figure, they could look at doing stuff from Zone or Return of Convoy.
Ooh.
These are the people that could be the ones that give us stuff
that nobody else will.
Like, say, a Masterpiece Victory Shuttle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be cheaper than the real
Super
one.
Megatron.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Third-party animated Marauder Megatron.
Ooh, okay.
Or a third-party Star Convoy.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Third-party animated Omega Supreme.
Yeah.
And that's for you, Paladin.
Yeah. Okay, so moving along. X-Transbots, new third-party, not Beachcomber. I mean, it looks nice, but I think we've got a couple of these so far that look nice, too, and I don't know that we need another one.
Well, I would have liked the iGear version a lot more, but they chose the wrong color blue for that one.
I'm fine with the iGear version.
The iGear minibots tended to have that problem of just, like, the wrong shade of the color they needed.
Yeah. Now, I do like this one better because, one, it looks more like Beachcomber, and the blue is a lot better.
He doesn't have a flower. He's missing the flower.
Well, now, here's the thing for you really old viewers. You could color this thing red, and it'd be Wonderbug almost. So with the way that face grill is. No one else remembers Wonderbug.
I don't.
Wait, wasn't that Speed Buggy?
No. Sid and Marty Krofft was a live-action series along with Lost and Electrowoman and Dino Girl in that same era.
Don't remember.
Yeah, that's one I'd never actually heard of, though.
Yeah.
It was a thing. But no, I like the looks of this. If the quality's there, you know, like I said, I've got a Polyon. I haven't opened Polyon yet from BotCon, and I just picked up Andreas, so I haven't opened them yet. But I'm hoping the quality is there because I would like that as a Masterpiece Beachcomber.
So just going back to what we were talking about a second ago, Crazy Steve in the chat just mentioned as far as like a toy we could get, a Masterpiece Stampy.
Oh God!
Just for Easter. Okay.
Wear a Masterpiece stamp on your neck, get chicks.
Well, now, you know, Masterpiece Karada?
That would be kind of cool, I guess.
No.
Masterpiece Long Rack with, like, a whole human head's worth of rooted hair.
Oh, my God.
Or a Mock Kick, not Long Rack.
I would rather have a Long Rack.
Long Rack is an awesome toy.
I love Long Rack.
The Long Rack is really awesome.
Okay, so I guess that
No. Masterpiece Heinrad.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Working clock. I would want it to be digital.
Oh, also on the subject of not Beachcomber, in a subsequent post, there's a panel missing from that toy's printed instruction sheet, which the designer put up on their DeviantArt page, and we have also mirrored at T-Formers.
Oh, very cool. Okay, so this week on the network, the last time that we did a Rob Clay Toy Detective, it was actually a segment on RFC, but Rob did a new one this week, and I actually posted it as an individual podcast. Rob digs into the Titans Return Brainstorm, and that's at tfradio.net for you to listen to. It's a nice short listen, and it's pretty fantastic. Keep doing more of those, Rob. I love it.
Like I said, whenever there's something that's worth doing this about, I will try and do this.
And your audio sounds great.
Good.
Okay, so I know there was the one before. What was the first Toy Detective segment actually about?
That was that whole list of Transformers adventure listings where I was the one who figured out that we were going to get reissues of United, Rumble, and Frenzy.
Right, okay, yep. I remember
that. I'm going to dig that out and actually post it as its own podcast and just backdate it so that it's in there.
Okay, cool.
Let's see here. So also, Get the Skinny. John and I talk about Chipotle's free burrito offering, Jack in the Box's $1 million burger giveaway. And I talk about how terrible the Super Bowl is and how it's worse than Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bah humbug.
Let's see here. Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Q-less, which is the episode that Q was on for Deep Space Nine. And I, for some reason, I was thinking that was the next gen episode where Q lost his powers, but that was IQ. No,
Deja Q.
I think. Yeah, I hated that episode.
Oh, they named the episode that.
You don't like Q loses powers?
No. I'm thinking the one. No. That one's great. I'm thinking the one where it has the girl who finds out she's a Q.
Oh yeah.
I hated that episode.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That's HRQ. I don't know.
Yeah, I like the part when Q crashes on the bridge butt naked and he looks at Picard and says, Red alert.
Oh, Q is great. Okay.
John DeLancey, please never change. Never go away. You and Mark Hamill need to be cloned. You, Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy are three people I can think of off the top of my head. They'd be cloned for infinity.
Tim Curry.
Yeah. Okay. So, Superhero Time, episode 262. It's called Paladin's Happy Ending.
Him, Tim Curry.
I'm leaving that right there. On the RFC minicast, episode 44, John, Don, and I reflect on Transformers the movie, and I am overly harsh on it, but that's just me.
Yeah, he
watched it every day for a whole summer 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I really do love it. He's exactly right. But yeah. I'm basically playing a wrestling heel.
Yeah, you made me sad.
Don't give it away, kayfabe.
Yeah, basically playing a heel. Being Awesome with Rob Springer, episode 45. Basically, Rob talks about Optimus Primal and a fancy third-party Obsidian. Plus, he rants on third-party versus official. And Diecast, why don't you just tell us what you're typing into the show notes? I don't.
Generation Toy C&D will be up tonight on RFC Reviews.
Name is such. I mean, that's just being such a dick.
So, did you ever figure out which one is C and which one is D?
Yeah, Bone Crusher is D, and what is it? Scavenger or Scraper?
Is it an arm or a leg?
He's a arm.
Arm.
Scavenger.
Scavenger. Yeah, and I accidentally kept calling him. What was the first one that we got?
Scraper.
Scraper
and. The cement truck, whatever his name was.
I accidentally kept calling
it. May have just been called cement truck, come to think of it.
Or mixer.
If they couldn't call him blockhead, they could have gone like head block or something.
Yeah, so I messed up the name, but, you know.
Yeah, very cool.
It's Devastator. It turns into Devastator.
Hey, Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, we've got a press release for Roll Out, the new Transformers-inspired album. We've got a interesting piece of teaser art from Matt Frank, who, of course, we know from Spotlight, Trail Cutter, and Mars Attacks Transformers, of new Dino Transformers. And they are, you know, up-to-date, scientifically accurate feathered dinosaurs. It's just silhouettes, but he said there will be more information soon. I'm really curious about that.
Me too.
Also, we've got G Creation has done some teaser images. They're going to do some IDW-style masterpieces of Optimus Prime and Prowl. And they are scaled to the MP-10 and MP-Prowl.
You know, if that's the, like, you know, armored-up war Prowl from, like, the midpoint of Robots in Disguise, that could actually be a good fit into classics.
It could. I think it is, but I can't remember. Which Prowl body is which at this point.
Nice.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry, Rob. I was looking at the article for the new Transformers album. Mm-hmm. Is it sad that I don't know who any of these people are?
You should know who one of the bands are. One is Bush. I mean, you were around back then.
Yeah, that's the only one I recognized.
That's the only name I recognize.
If it's not a stand in front of it.
Bush was the band that wanted to be Nirvana.
Okay.
I can't believe they're still around.
They
went away for a while.
Casino circuit or what?
The only Bush I know is Stan. That's it.
Bush's baked beans.
Well, two Bushes then.
And I always listen to old people music, so I am not the person to ask here. Rest in peace, Stan.
Bush is old people music now.
Yeah, Bush is old people music.
Yeah, I'm my old people music is too old for this. Also, I have reviewed More Than Meets the Eye number 49 this week because we were expecting Skylinks a little bit earlier, so wanted to make sure the schedule was clear. But
thanks anyway.
Sure.
And what we bumped out of third party earlier is there's some pictures and early comments on Seraphicus Promenon, the Mastermind Creations super expensive Nova Prime analog from Maz at TF Square One, which we mirrored over. So So that's, it's an interesting look at, you know, something super expensive and to see if it's, you know, kind of even worth it at all.
And a little comment, Maz is awesome.
Yeah.
Maz is
awesome. I would agree.
Yes,
Maz. I would agree.
Okay, he's just such a great guy. Mm-hmm. He's very, very conversant and everything on Twitter, and he takes great photos. Okay, so questions and feedback. So we started doing this last couple weeks because I've just, instead of, you know, just responding to these directly in the email, I'm like, huh, these people probably want me to read the stuff on the show.
It's possible.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
first, we got a voicemail from our pal Dan. Dan used the voicemail at 931-99-GO-BOT. That's 931-994-6268. Let's go ahead and play that.
Hey, RFC. Hello, Google Voice Recognition. This is Mantis 99s, a.k.a. Dan. But I go by Mantis 99s on Twitter and YouTube. And just heard you guys mention the voice, the voicemail line on the last episode, and I figured, what the hell, I will call in and say how much I enjoy the show and how much I appreciate all the effort you guys put in week to week. I love the mini-cast. I love the being awesome with Rob Springer, little small podcasts. I have a long, long commute, so, you know, those things are great to listen to, and, you know, sometimes the smaller length is kind of helpful too. But anyway, mainly I just wanted to call in and say thanks for doing the show. It's great. I really enjoy it. And yeah, can't wait for the next one. Later, guys.
Thanks, Dan. You're the man. We really appreciate that. Also, question from Sammy Turnage from our YouTube channel. Hi, guys. Had a crazy idea. Do you think it is possible that we will ever see a Titan-class Unicron after they do the others? Titan, Class, Metroplex, Devastator, Fort Max, etc. And also, he poses the question to Diecast. To Diecast, if you have a chance to ask Hasbro, please ask why they ask about the hollowness and quality of the plastic, why the toys are so hollow, and why the plastic quality has dipped, please. My opinion on the Titans, Unicron, if they continue doing Titans class stuff, that only makes sense.
I hope so. I really, really hope so.
I mean, that just seems like if they continue with the Titan scale, it seems obvious to me that they have to do that eventually.
You would think.
Yeah.
And I think the hollowness issue has been more prevalent in the Combiner Wars because of all the stuff the figures have to do. I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue with the Titans Return line.
Well, and like the hollowness and stuff is kind of just where we're at economically with things too, because like the cost of producing stuff overseas is going up, and it's not going to stop going up because, you know, labor is actually getting paid more fairly now. Oil costs are not a big deal. It's what always gets pointed to because that's the thing that the companies can talk about publicly and not be made to look like a bunch of monsters because they're complaining about having to pay their workers a living wage.
But it's also not like the oil price thing is immediately... It's not like the oil price plummets and then immediately stuff goes down in price.
Yeah, no, it's not an immediate reflection, but at the same time, like, the oil price going down might put off the prices going up more for a while, but oil prices going down is not going to bring the cost down or make it where they don't have to have the open hollow spaces on the toys, like, to save materials,
like,
and weight.
In general, one thing, like, I love, you know, I love weights and stuff, and like when the crisis happened 10 years ago or 8 years ago, however long it was, the price of free weights like doubled. And after the price of gas dropped, guess what? The price of the weights didn't go down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's
first
just a new
acquisition.
Yeah, exactly. That's just a new baseline now. So,
yeah,
I still think there's going to be seeing the Titans Return stuff in person, I feel like there's going to be an increase in quality in the figures that you get in your hands. And I think you're going to be really happy with the new line after Combiner Wars.
And it's also a learning curve too, right? I mean, like, the designers learn more how to operate given the style and everything.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, because like if you think about the War for Cyber, or the Fall of Cybertron toys, especially the Combaticons from that era, like compare that to anything we have gotten in the last year, and it's complete night and day. You know, it took that time to learn to figure out how to work in the new budget and still make toys of the same quality. The stuff, it fluctuates as the costs and the budgets, you know, work themselves out. But, like, for one thing, I don't think the plastic quality is particularly different than it has been, like, 5-10 years ago.
I think it depends on the, if it's like a special package that's for like a certain retailer or something that's not part of the normal retail assortment, they may to negotiate prices, they may have lower quality plastic occasionally.
I don't even really think that's true, to be
honest. It's not a quality, it's just that there's not as much of it.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I mean
it's thinner.
Yeah. I mean, to be sure, there's differences in the plastic used between releases. Masterpiece Grimlock is a great example of that. The two Hasbro releases of that have very different plastic look and feel, but it doesn't mean that the newer one is made of inferior quality plastic. It's just different plastic with different characteristics. But no, like, I don't think this is something we really need to ask the Hasbro people, because like the factors that go into this are pretty well understood. It's something that's great to have asked, because it's something we need to talk about from time to time, just, you know, so everybody is aware of what actually goes into how the figures are made, how the pricing works. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm really glad Sammy asked that question, so we had a chance to talk about this. But yeah, like, from the, like Diecast is saying, from what we've seen of the Titans Return stuff so far, the design process looks a little bit different now too, so there's not as much evident open spaces, just in the little bit we've seen. You know, and that's going to vary from toy to toy too, just depending how it has to work.
Yeah, with the Titan Masters, again, I don't have Metroplex, but there's going to have to be more plastic in them by sheer build quality, so the toy won't be an issue and with fragility, and you've got a bunch of returns at the store because you try to make the plastic too thin or not substantial enough in general to support the toy's weight and functions. Like you were saying, it's going to vary from toy to toy. So in the lower toys, like RID Warriors, you're going to have one level that they focus at. But because of engineering constraints, you're going to have to be more of a quality in these larger figures so that they don't fall apart on themselves.
Hey, Don, did I just hear you say you never got a Titan Class Metroplex?
Yeah, no, I got Utopia instead.
I mean, I don't have a Metroplex.
And I only saw Metroplex in stores one time at Toys R Us.
Oh, Rob can beat that, Don.
Yeah, I can beat that. I saw the one they gave away at Shardicon. That is the only Metroplex I have ever seen.
Oh, wow.
That's funny. Yeah, I got mine the day I came back from Shardicon. It was waiting for me.
Yeah. See, you know, I mean, I know I could have bought it online. It's just, as I said, that Metroplex, I did not think did not look right because of all just the unpainted white plastic. And it wasn't a Metroplex that I wanted on my shelf.
I like it. Okay, so
I'd probably rather have Utopia also, just because it more fits my idea of what Metroplex should look like. But, you know.
Yeah, it's $400. Okay, so send us an email at contact@tfradio.net or click on the email us link at our website, tfradio.net. Or again, like Dan, you can leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. Again, that's 931-994-6268. And we would appreciate it, and we may read or play that on the show. Okay, so again, Toy Fair, if you are listening to this Thursday or Friday or Saturday morning, before the 13th of February, 2016. Join us. We will have our live stream, and it will be phenomenal. And Diecast is puffing away on his caffeine vape stick. How many of those do you still have?
How many of those do you go through during a day?
I actually don't take them to work anymore because it's cold. I don't want to go outside to smoke them or anything. So,
and it's just caffeine. It's not like nicotine or anything.
Yeah, it's just caffeine. No nicotine or anything. But you're not allowed to smoke these inside. So,
well, it's still annoying.
Why not? Like, I mean, I know I'm a caffeine fiend, and I chew caffeine gum. But there's just like something. It's like a whole other level to like vape caffeine. It's like the future.
Yeah,
but not in a good way. Like, I'm not even going to do that. I don't want popcorn lung.
I'm gonna need this for New York.
This is true. I can send you some Jolt Energy Gum.
No, that stuff's horrible. You let me try it.
Send him some Hemo Rage.
Oh my god. Guys, I've cut way back on caffeine. Like, I really have. Last week, I think I've found a better
balance.
Yeah,
this week you were, like, sick to death. I mean, I think...
Yeah, are you sure this is, like, an actual sickness, or is this just, like, advanced withdrawal you're going through?
I have had major headaches the last couple days at work because of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah, join us for Toy Fair. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. You can follow me at B Kilby. Diecast is at Diecast2. Don is at HMRC4EVR. Rob is at RAC2750 and at Flailthroughs. And am I missing anybody? John's at that John D. And Chris does not want to participate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So,
contrary.
So, So if you don't catch our live stream, we will post it to our website. It'll be in our YouTube feed as well and on iTunes. So, enjoy that, and we'll be back Saturday, and please join us. It will be phenomenal. I am so excited, guys.
Oh yeah,
this is like
kind of unreal that it's that close at this point. But I know I say that every year, but it's unreal that it's almost time already.
And then it'll be dead until BotCon.
Yeah, but that's only until April.
Yeah,
that's
true.
No, so think about it. We got Toy Fair in February, BotCon in April. There will be some stuff at the Hasbro panel there. Then it's a couple months until SDCC. And then just a few short months from there until New York Comic Con. And at some point, either between the two Comic Cons or right after New York Comic Con, we'll probably get just a direct Hasbro event for the sites for more stuff. Like, we're at a point now where we can expect, there's just going to be a steady stream of news spread throughout the year. There's not going to be, like, long dry spells.
We're catching up with the Japanese hobby show schedule.
Which is good and bad in its own ways.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just excited that BotCon and San Diego Comic-Con aren't going to be back-to-back this year.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, maybe we'll actually get to see something there. Yeah,
oh, well, to be fair, last BotCon, the Hasbro panel actually had good reveals in terms of actually showing us new stuff and not holding it back for San Diego.
San Diego was disappointing.
Honestly, it was, yeah. Yeah.
A little bit.
But it was G2.
Okay,
we love G2 Superion.
So. There is much rather San Diego be disappointing than New York. So keep all the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's much better for the places we're not going to be disappointing than for the things we're actually...
Yeah, I would rather San Diego...
Please schedule your reveals around Diecast's travel schedule. That would be awesome.
Yes, I would rather San Diego be disappointing than BotCon, because we go to BotCon to hear about Transformers.
And
so.
We will all be at BotCon this year.
Yes.
All of us except for Rob Springer.
Aw.
Yeah, Rob Springer.
Well, I thought Rob was... Oh,
he's getting married.
Wrong. That's right. Wrong Rob.
The other Rob is going.
Rob is getting married. Congratulations, Rob.
Yes.
Yes, Rob Springer is getting married. Rob Play is going to BotCon.
Congratulations, Rob! Okay, so we'll be back on Saturday. Then we'll see you again next week on Wednesday. Join us 8:30 Eastern Time every Wednesday. And join us in the chat. And hopefully next week.
I mean, you can show up a little bit early, too, because there's always pre-show.
Yeah.
And also, as soon as we sign off, Hasbro will announce something. So we may have a mini cast for the immediate follow-up.
The show, if you notice, the show has dragged on a little long because I'm expecting it. So,
okay.
Or it could be like...
I thought it was because you were sick and not controlling the pace of the show very well.
It's partly that, too.
Now, what was the time we stayed up to midnight for some reveals and they never happened?
BotCon was going to unveil
a
BotCon figure, and we stayed up until like midnight, and then they sent out a tweet the next morning.
Was that one of the surprise eggs last year?
Yes.
Yes.
Aren't you glad they're not doing that this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I just couldn't get too excited about that again.
Okay, on that pun, we'll end. We'll see.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah.
Oh,
where's the sign?
No. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network.
Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?